Hello, Film Sackers. Do you like what you hear when you listen to Film Sack? Well, don't worry. That's coming right up. I won't be here but just a moment. It's just to remind you that two of us do a show every day, Monday through Thursday in the morning, and one extra one on Thursday afternoons called The Morning Stream. That's me and Brian Ibbett over there. Have you checked it out? Have you listened? Have you given it a shot? Have you decided that morning shows need a real shot in the arm? Well, we got plenty of that for you. Go give it a listen. See if you like it. Tell your friends. Frogpants.com/TMS.
Hey! What are you doing here?
Nothing.
You think you have reservations?
Yeah, we do.
Go on back.
Check inside.
I've had enough. Go on. One more time and you're off the train.
If you have job, you wear the pants. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 214, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. Don't say anything, but he's been playing Mahjong all night with his lady friends Dunaway.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Mahjong,
right into
sorry.
What I'm doing. Yeah. Mahjong, what do you call it?
Mahjong is what they play in the Three Stooges.
Mahjong.
They make Mojang. Minecraft. Where was my head? Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Hurry, Wang, hurry. We must get to the train before all the good softballs are taken. Also, did you remember to bring the Mahjong and other things that aren't appropriate to play on a train? Oh, Jax, are you drunk as I am right now?
Nice. All over the place like I like it. I like it that way.
Also, why were they playing volleyball on that
train? What the hell was going on there?
What's up?
Also with us, Randy, all the old chin in my eye socket move. I meant, oh, the old chin in my eye socket move, Jordan. Where is he?
Eddie's gone. This week's film reminded me. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Aloha, then. I say aloha to you.
It's going well.
Aloha.
Yeah.
This week's film reminded me that I used to work in a foundry. Did you know that I used to work in a foundry?
No, this is news.
What's a foundry, you say? Well, I'll tell you. A foundry is a place where men who all know how to fight, they work all day in brutal conditions for a foreman who pushes them around, but they don't fight him. Rather, they store oil in containers that you can drink from because drinking oil is fine. If there's anything we've learned on Film Sack, it's that you can definitely drink oil, guys.
Yeah. Was that oil? Was that what it was supposed to be?
I thought it was some sort of...
I was like break booze.
It was some sort of alcohol.
No,
I mean,
it was industrial alcohol used for flaming and stoking the flames of the
really?
Fire.
Good Lord.
Placed next to stupid crap like fires.
Mm, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Right, the only reason why...
It's safe because we'll keep in wooden containers.
Right, bamboo containers. It'll work out all perfectly. Just wait.
You'll Brilliant see. Idea.
I think we're onto something here.
We might be.
Film Sack films where people drink things you shouldn't drink.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, rounding us out, Brian, come on, old man. Don't let a hatchet in the back stop you, Ibbot.
Hilarity ensues when a rage monster, his gambling-addicted, pregnancy-lying wife, and his alcoholic son fight the men who are trying to kill the town by shutting down the steel mill. Ah, Drunken Master.
That's exactly what it was.
That's
man.
That's your story right there, man.
Legend of Drunken Filmmaker.
Yeah. Filmmaker.
I was thinking about showing up to Film Sack drunk for this one.
Oh, you totally
kind of
should
a special
have.
Thing, but you'd get like 10 minutes of funny out of me, and then I would just drift off for the whole rest of the show.
Yeah. Exactly how Drunken Master was.
Well, before Fletcher has his say about what this thing's actually about, I just wanted to put it out there that, yes, okay, people, we heard. There's a Minority Report TV show in development. We got it.
Oh, my gosh.
We
really?
Got it.
I didn't get any messages about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
week.
You got
I'm
none.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure you're completely.
It went a whole week with silence, is what happened there. Yeah, we heard. We got it. It's good. And Brian's first words were, Well, as long as Spielberg's not involved, I'm okay, is what he said. So with that note, let's jump right into Scott Fletcher explaining. Oh, stop it. So explaining more about Drunken Master.
The Legend of Drunken Master.
The Legend of Drunken Master.
Jackie Chan returns in the sequel to the film that made him famous. To battle a group of smugglers, dutiful son Fai Hung must use his patented drunken boxing fighting style, in which a swig of alcohol empowers him to kick some baddie butt.
Drunken boxing fighting style. Burr, burr. Come on, sing with me. No? All right. That's your movie, directed by Chia Liang. I don't know. Liu is his last name. Jackie Ooh. Chan, who is uncredited as director, but apparently there was a big fight and a falling out toward the end. And the
a
old
bit of drunken master fighting, maybe.
The director left, and he took over and did all the choreography and all the directing. And that might explain why some people, and even on Twitter today they were talking about this, why some people feel like the last maybe third of the movie feels so different than the rest of it.
Right.
It's definitely kind of a, you know, it's all like kind of no holds barred. Let's just fight for the last bit. Mm-hmm. So by that, I guess people mean, well, we got away from all the interstitial dialogue and just did nothing but fighting toward the end. But I don't know that the fighting was all that different, you know, from scene to scene. They saved the big stuff for last, like the
right.
him well, trying to get out of the coals and all that.
Let's go ahead and say this right now. This, we know that the one we watched it on Netflix. We know it's not the original. We know that there is a longer extended version that has a lot more fighting and is a little bit, you know, has different soundtrack, is a lot different than from what we saw.
Like all these Chan movies that came to the States, this was very common back then. Right, late 80s, right. early 90s, they would strip them down. They'd do terrible dub overs, and then they would change the credits to have some kind of rock and roll song and bloopers from him getting hurt.
Right.
They do it in all do the same pattern. And I remember when we were all doing, what was the cop one?
Super Cop.
That may have been it, or it may have been the
Big
one we
Trouble,
did.
Big Trouble, Little China.
No, I think it was Super Cop. Super Cop definitely had that.
What was it? Rumble in the Bronx is what I'm thinking of.
Rumble in the Bronx.
That's but they all, we've ta- I think in both
Big
cases.
Trouble in the Bronx.
Both cases, we talked about how they stripped them pretty heavily and changed all that and changed the name for the American audience. And, you know, it was Drunken Master 2 over there, and here it's just Legend of, and the poster looks nothing like the poster. You wouldn't know this is kind of a period piece. It was set in the past. Unless you watch the movie, the front thing of that may as well be him and Chris Tucker doing something dumb. So,
kind of hard to place precisely when they intended it to be set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I guess I walked away thinking like 20s, 30s.
Right. But, and I don't think I know enough about Chinese culture to understand why they would be so excited about running to the train and why they would. And maybe that would help specify the time period a little bit more. Maybe there was a more urgency to getting to the train. I don't even know what kind of trains they even have in China right now.
It was definitely a script that didn't want to explain itself.
Yeah.
Like, right.
You're just like, they really didn't even really care. There weren't good reasons for anything. There wasn't a tight plot. This was about getting you from one fight or one action sequence to another, really.
I agree. And I laughed more, though, than I would have in some of his other stuff. So a lot of, you know, his signature with these Hong Kong films are that there's a lot of comedy in there, right? It's not just martial artsy, you know,
comedy.
Kicking butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's some actual funny moments, but they never really land on me as funny per se. I kind of understand that it's, you know, funny to somebody, or maybe in Chinese it's funny, but in English the voiceover's so bad and all that stuff. I never laugh intentionally, or I never laugh at things because they're genuinely funny. I might smirk because it comes off weird or funny or odd. Not the way they intended it, but this movie, I actually found myself laughing at a bunch of times in genuine moments. You know,
stepmom was hilarious.
She was great.
Yeah, especially when you hit her in the chin and she talks like she's gumming a jawbreaker for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That healed up though. She's like Wolverine. She's fine.
Yeah, mutant healing strength.
But she, but her and some of his lines and just. Just overall, I felt like the translation, even though it's super goofy in parts, kind of worked better than usual. I mean, the parts are real simplified. Like, this dad is as stereotypic as you get about a guy who's running a school and being all conservative and, you know, his pacifist ways and all that stuff. And him being
super
kind of
abusive.
This rebellious son who's really, I found out by looking it up, he's only 8 years younger than an actor than that other guy. So him trying to play much younger as his son was a little bit weird. But that stuff kind of worked. Found myself laughing, giggling, you know, having a good time. It's probably my favorite Jackie Chan movie is what I'm trying to get to.
Mm, easy.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's it for me. I mean, I'm sorry. My favorite Hong Kong Japanese, or my favorite Hong Kong Jackie Chan movie. Yes.
Okay. I think it's my favorite Jackie Chan movie. I'm going to go ahead and say favorite Jackie Chan movie for me.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of his weird American stuff. I think there's something lost there. In fact, it hit me during the movie. I was like, you know, what is it about the lost opportunity that is him coming to the States and becoming so popular as kind of an underground hit? Like, wow, have you seen these weird Hong Kong movies? Amazing. It's incredible on the rise of all of that. And he deserved all of that praise. And then he came here and we just kind of went, John Woo did this a little bit too. Just kind of got a little soft. Not him per se, but like the way we do things here. Like clearly there's no OSHA-like organization watching. There's no way, dude. Like I'm watching those bloopers.
And ducks.
I'm watching those. Yes, but also I'm watching that blooper thing where he's stumbling out of there and they're trying to hose him off because it looked like he didn't get out very well.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there's a kid with a bucket running across this thin beam trying to get over there to help. And I'm like, you're going to lose a 9-year-old to a bunch of coals. You can't even have a child working on set in the States. Like there is clearly a part of what makes that stuff great, I think, is that there isn't all this like, you know, I don't know. Everyone doesn't have to have a SAG card and everybody doesn't have to have all this union stuff in place. I don't know what it's like now, but back then, clearly they were just making movies because they were rad and jumping off a thing and landing on something real hard was the price you paid.
Oh, right, God. Right. Yeah. I mean, even seeing like the bloopers and the stuff that injured people, I can't even imagine what it's like to work on a Jackie Chan film even as like an extra or a stunt double or something like that, just because it's so... They're the choreography and the potential for bone shattering damage seems like it's just insurmountable. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Just constantly dodging a bullet every time I saw him do anything. Like when those big bell things were dropping and he'd have to roll out of the way, one of them hit him in the bloopers.
Yes. And you could see how heavy those damn things were.
It was immobilized. And that answered my question because during the movie, I'm like, those look really heavy, but they're probably not. No, it's totally heavy. Oh, yeah.
No, totally heavy. And Netflix needs to do something with Jackie Chan movies where they don't do that automatic thing, at least on the PS4, where it shrinks the screen down so you can say, here's some other things you'll enjoy. You know what I'll enjoy now, Netflix? Seeing those in full screen, seeing the bloopers.
Exactly. Enjoying the rest of my movie is what I would enjoy right now, Netflix. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for telling
recommendation
me
for me.
Telling me what I want or don't want to do, Netflix, you bastards. Yeah, no, it's
by the way, this is the full film is on YouTube. You can watch it. So if you're listening to Film Sack and you don't always get to watch the Netflix or maybe recently canceled Netflix for whatever reason, you can catch this on the YouTube.
Is it in Chinese with
No,
subs?
There are some what they call burned in subs, and you can catch some of the clips and stuff from the original film, which I suggest looking for as well, because there's a totally different sound dynamic to the movie. But no, the one that's on YouTube that I saw that was the full-length film is the same one, basically this that was the DVD, the most recent release, which is on DVD, which is heavily edited and dubbed and everything else.
Yeah, what's cool is all those guys he was fighting, especially the dude at the end with the crazy leg.
I will leave my crotch completely open to an attack. All you have to do is throw a pencil at me and I am down.
That is it. That is my weakness. He's in everything. Like, go watch any other Hong Kong movie that with or without Jackie Chan, doesn't matter. That guy's a dynamo in his own right and totally kicks A. And I don't know, you know, like I'm watching some of the stunts when they're in that restaurant, it gets real quiet. So it's him and Obi-Wan Kenobi in that building. And he goes, I don't know where everyone is. And then everything goes to shit and everyone attacks the place. There are people doing stunts in there. I know they were hurt. I know it. I saw a guy fall off the top, flip over the thing and hit his back on a beam. There's no way that was good for anybody.
There was so many times that people hit their backs on things and it just looked like it broke them in half.
Yeah.
That was a really weird scene when the whole town had gotten quiet and, you know, the actors popped up and they were supposed to all be wearing these matching black, you know, uniforms. And in a lot of the cut scenes where they were cutting through, you would see random fill-in people that were wearing red or different colors. And, you know, it was supposed to be from the establishing shots, it was all a bunch of guys. But every once in a while, I could swear I saw, you know, a woman or something that's running around just doing fill-in work, just making it look more like it was packed. It was it was kind of a strange scene.
Yeah, that whole thing.
That took me out.
And just people just getting so hurt. Like I knew they were getting hurt and I knew also intrinsically that they were cool with it. Like, that's right, what they were there for. They knew the risks. They would all seem to, like, whenever somebody gets hurt in those bloopers, you used to see people spring to action. Just even the smallest cast member who's not even in the shot, just everyone's lunging over, okay, what do we got to do to help Chan? And the other guy broke his nose. And I think that's their safety. You know?
Like, and kind of a late coming thing in the Jackie Chan list, like, the best, in my opinion, best Jackie Chan movie ever is Drunken Master, 1978. He's a kid. He goes off to learn drunken kung fu. He returns to try to keep somebody from killing his father. It's this real straightforward thing. And I would give anything for there to be credits after that movie where you get to see some of the behind the scenes stuff. But that didn't really start until about this time, about the early 90s. Right.
Yeah, the Japanese versions didn't have that stuff in it, or Japanese. The Chinese versions didn't have that stuff in it. That was all like over here, and they always put the rock and roll song in, and they always put the end credits of them getting hurt. And I kind of, so part of that bugs me. It's like, come on, you guys, can't you just trust your audiences? Not, you know, just give us the raw meat. We don't need some weird sanitized up thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, 93, 94, this stuff was so new and so fresh that mainstream audiences didn't know what the hell to think about any of it. You know, like, this comes over and she's like, what is this? And it's already dubbed and it's strange. And am I supposed to like this? I kind of think I like it, but I don't know. Am I supposed to like it? I feel like I remember that.
Scott, have you been to a rodeo in the last 15 years?
Probably about 8 years ago. Yeah.
They started doing something at rodeos in our lifetimes, which is playing really loud heavy metal when a bull rider comes out of the chute.
Oh, wow.
And well, it go to a rodeo in the, you know, anytime, and you'll see, it'll be like, oh my gosh, suddenly it's Metallica is just blowing through this arena that I'm in. Well, and it's only for a few seconds, right? Because the guy falls off and then you're like, stop. And like, wow, that was really loud rockin' music. It actually makes it better. It's actually good.
Now, what if I said to you though, what if I said, I hate rodeos?
What's your answer now?
maybe the addition of a little tiny bit of Megadeth will help you.
Okay,
you never know.
Okay, all right, I'm fine with that.
Megadeth rodeo.
I heard a thing about sports casts. This is common knowledge now, I think, but back in the day, and when I say in the day, I mean like 04, 05, I don't think people knew how much this was going on, but there's an entire sound team hired and used for major stuff, like, let's say, Wimbledon or the U.S. Open or even golf or even other stuff. And they're throwing in real time canned sound effects because they found was it's not so much that it's faking anything because the action's still happening the way people see it. It's just back in the day, and they played some old broadcast to show this. All you heard was a guy talking, and it would be like he was in his car and there was no other sound, but you had to just believe that what he was seeing was exciting. So they've added all these, like, you know,
ambient noises,
ambient sounds, and people going ugh when they hit the tennis ball or whatever. It was fascinating. And these guys are like, they get Emmys for this kind of stuff. Right. Like, wow. I got thinking, why are you giving an Emmy to a sound team for the Olympics? And then it hit me. Oh no, because it's not that some guy just recording it real well. You know, it's some guy who's Foley working it and making it sound better and making it more interesting. And
so, something else that happened in our lifetimes is that every single professional baseball stadium and other sports in the world hired a DJ.
Right.
You know, somebody to sit there and play awesome music. Used to be an organist, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's music that you know and love every chance they get between
Crisscross every... make you jump. Jump.
Yeah. All the time. Go to a minor league baseball game and you will hear 125 different pop songs at, you know, little bits of them at all sorts of different times.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that I feel like
it used to just be meep, 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 right. Meep. That was it.
Yeah. Some little lady up there.
But I really actually feel like it's a good thing when you get to the credits of a newer Jackie Chan movie to see that, you know, to see what happened and to have somebody who thought about it for a minute, I'm going to put this song on these outtakes. You know, I think it works.
I think it works fine. Like I'm saying, I'm two voices on it. And now I'm really glad. I don't want to see a Jackie Chan movie now. I'll just admit this bald-faced. I don't want to see it unless there's a bunch of he almost got killed shots at the end. Because look what that did for us. We don't get these kind of simpleton plots. were new to the kind of style of action and choreography that was happening, I mean, in the early 90s. This was all kind of new to American and Western audiences. So that stuff's all just kind of hard to take all at once and whatever, whatever. But we understand America's Funniest Home Videos. We understand a dude tripping and almost dying. And we also appreciate things more because it's like, whoa, that scene, it didn't even occur to me. We're so used to everybody having stunt doubles. We couldn't even believe that that was – you're telling me Jackie Chan did that leap himself? Like I remember that being a revelation. Mm-hmm. Like right, nobody right. works like this, you know?
Nobody. Except for Tom Cruise. But nobody
well, he claims.
In the right mind.
he does a lot of his own stuff. But even then, he can only do so much because, again, we have so many rules. It's like,
yeah.
Well, can we do it with stuntmen or CGI or whatever?
Could you imagine, you know, American movies with some of our A-list actors, George Clooney, Tom Cruise, whoever – doing these blooper things at the end, watching them get the snot beat out of them by, you know, extras or walking on fire and stuff like that. The people would be throw their hand. There'd be an uproar.
There kind of would be, right?
Yeah.
It feels like you couldn't just do this here. I mean, we'd love to hear about it now. Like, oh yeah, when they made the Magnificent Seven. I mean, back then they didn't have all these rules. So there's that time Yul Brynner accidentally got a pitchfork up his ass. Remember that? Ha ha ha.
I mean, even something with the Expendables. I have a hard time seeing Sylvester Stallone and all these people like getting physically beat and hurt by the stunts that they were doing. Well,
didn't Stallone
obviously
fight
they're
for
not
that?
Doing them.
Right, right.
Yeah. Didn't Stallone fight for that kind of stuff though? That he could do his own stunts and stuff? Didn't he kind of do that in a couple of his movies?
Who?
And
who's that?
Stallone. Didn't he fight for that kind of thing?
He might have.
Do his own.
But I think it's like you were saying about Cruise. So does he, but they can only go so far. And it's not that they're wimps at a certain level. Maybe they'd go further. It's just they get
insurance.
Stopped. Yeah, people come around lawyers from the freaking production company come around and go, dude, you can't freaking do that.
There's also something we've learned. You know, today Jackie Chan is 60 years old. He had a window of opportunity to make the best movies that he was ever going to make in terms of being an action star, right? Yeah. And we learned there can be only one Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
There may never be another thing like this guy who is such a good, and I don't mean great, but good actor, singer, performer, stuntman.
He's
willing,
a great entertainer.
Right. Plus the willingness to do the stunts. All of those things combined make Jackie Chan. Who else is there? There's no one that ever came even close. So we can kind of assume the window has closed and that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And this was part of my lament in this movie was being reminded that when he got to the States and this stuff was now, because this movie came out in 2000 in China. So this didn't, or sorry, not 2000. It came here in 2000, came out in 94 there.
Right.
So we didn't get to see this until the year 2000.
Year 2000.
So that's 7 years, man. It's 3000 now, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, because of that, his time to come over here and do something amazing here was limited. Plus all our rules limited him. I remember when his movie started coming out here, people were like, oh, this is like watered down Jackie Chan. I'm like, it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. A, he's getting a little older, but B, they're not letting him do it here. They're not willing. Right. 20th Century Fox is not willing to take on the risk of what that stuff used to represent. So I feel like in a weird way, we wasted him when he got the most popular. It's like he's at his peak. There's this chance to really go crazy over here with huge budgets and, you know, interesting directors and just some really interesting stuff. And what do? We just kind of half-ass it and bring Owen Wilson in every 5 minutes. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind those Shanghai movies. They're fine. And his other even Western ones they're fine. They're fun, stupid, throwaway entertainment. But you didn't get the thing you wanted from Jackie Chan at all in those movies. And that was his time to shine over here. And we kind of blew it. I feel like we failed him as a nation. You know, we didn't let him do what he could do. So anyway, there's that. Somebody sent me a photo of him fighting
with his shirt off.
You know, here it is. I'm gonna give it to you guys.
Do you like shirtless pictures of Jackie Chan, Bobby?
Because I've got something for you.
He says, tell me this doesn't look like Jackie Chan is Sylvester Stallone's stunt double. And this is a shot from him in that the Karate Kid remake thing, which I really liked, by the way.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So there's a link. Just put it in there. Check it out. He does look a lot like the Stallone looks right now. Really kind of weird. Anyway, that's in our Twitter feed if anyone wants to track that down and find it.
It's the soul patch beard.
Yeah, it is.
That'll make you look a certain way.
The scone face in your late 50s, that kind of stuff helps.
So I feel like this isn't the first or second best Jackie Chan film we've seen for FilmSec, and I I kind of want to bash it a little bit.
I liked it a lot better than I'll take it over the Harlem
Super
one.
Cop or
Super
really?
Super Cop I really liked, but I think this is better than that.
I really like this because I thought it had more sense of humor than Rumble in the Bronx.
Really?
But I think I prefer that one. I think I prefer Rumble in the Bronx. Just it didn't feel so disjointed. And I know, you know, there was the whole problem we talked about at the beginning of the show with it changing hands halfway through. Mm-hmm. But you notice it, you feel it, and you didn't feel that way.
It's a little jarring, I admit that. Yeah. It's a little hard. It's a little halting. It's like, whoa, what are we doing now? This is getting kind of dark and nonstop. And I feel like you had some plot stuff to work out, and they just didn't do any of that. They just kind of let all that go. Was the dude at the end famous? I apologize if this is stupid, but the guy, they took a photo toward the end.
He was an actor in a film.
Are you sure he was some famous, like actual government dude, military dude, China guy that was in that photo with them all? There's just this shot where it freezes too. It does like that movie trope. In fact, you know what? It deserves a little tropey trope here. Hold on. When there's a like end of the movie, everyone's lined up to take a picture and they literally do a flash and then it fades in like a super fast Polaroid.
Right,
stays there for a minute. I hate that. Freaking hate it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's a guy. I just wondered if he was like a real like Chinese general man that I should know. Chinese general man.
You got to
see it in the trivia.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You got to remember, this is before Hong Kong goes back to China, so they were still in the Commonwealth, making a Commonwealth movie.
Yeah, they sure fought a lot of those British guys, didn't they?
Jeez. Oh, wow, yeah, they really hate the British.
Man. What's going on here at my steel foundry factory? Yeah, right.
That guy Let's all worst. Get in our Go Safari shirts and hang out in the dark.
Can we please talk about the hats in this movie? Oh, my gosh, hats in this movie.
As used as combinations with other things was my favorite. Like
I just said, this isn't my favorite Jackie Chan film, but oh my gosh, the pith helmets and the fedoras. Did you know fedoras were a thing in China?
The page boy hats. Like, you know you're a bad guy if you're wearing a page boy hat.
Yep. But the guys that wore the fedoras, like his dad did, coming home from the train trip, but he's got like traditional Chinese monk looking garb on below. And then a fedora. That is equivalent to Brian Ibbett in a trucker hat in a white bathrobe with pink letters on the back. Like, it just did not match. You know, like you do when you're in Vegas. We've seen these pictures. Course, we know what's going on.
And then sure.
multiple times, people show up wearing Ushankas. Like,
what's an Ushanka? Remind me.
A Russian hat with ears.
Flappy flap?
It's a furry hat that... Yeah. Covers everything, including your ears. It's designed to be worn in a blizzard, and they're in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between a toque and one of those? What's the difference between a Canadian toque?
A toque is a skull cap, whereas an Ushanka it has all these flaps that fold up, and it's real furry. It's super furry. Mm. Like a toque is like woven,
like whole bear,
like my women
sacrifice the entire. your women.
Think about a Russian standing out in the snow. And you see this hat in this movie, and I'm just like,
the Russian in the snow. Hold on a second.
Hold on, like hats. You mean like the
Natasha and Boris?
But like, I like the Russian like hats that are all tall.
Like spies like us, Chase has got the Russian.
Didn't the Huns wear something like that too?
I've just linked the Ushanka to you.
We're gonna take a look here.
It's all over this movie, along with every other kind of hat that you could have
wasn't that kind of like a Mongolian influence, though? Kind of.
That's what I was thinking.
Sure. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But it's just bizarre because they're in the tropics. They're in a place where you probably aren't wearing any fur ever any day of the year.
Yeah, look at this stuff. You're totally right. I think more of these mini ones or the ones that they call similar down here. There's this one called fish fur. Made from fish fur.
Fish fur.
It says formal enclosed setup of the Ushanka worn for the winter, or sorry, worn with the winter version of the Afghanka. Yeah.
Ushanka and Afghanka.
Afghanka. Both of the Afghanka collar and the Ushanka are made from fish fur, it says.
Fish fur is a Russian language ironic expression used to describe poor quality coats. So.
I swear that photo at the top of the Wikipedia page is Donna Dixon from Spies Like Us.
That's what I thought, too. That's exactly what I said. It she looks just
does,
like
it. It totally does look like it.
This week
she comes
on
out
film
of the
sack,
tent and all hot and shows her bra. Yeah, I remember that.
No wonder Dan Aykroyd.
We learned what an Ushanka is. This is fascinating.
Did they end up together?
They're together.
Right.
They're still together. And she still looks incredible.
And that's where they met.
I don't know if they met on that movie or on Dr. Detroit, because I think she was a character in Dr. Detroit, which I don't know why we haven't watched that. Well, it's probably not streaming, but we need to keep an eye out for that preliminary.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. There's a great little description under that photo. It says, "Ushankas provide warmth in the wearer, or warmth to the wearer in the winter." That's a great line. A
little alliteration for you.
"Ushankas provide warmth in the winter to the wearer."
And people surrounding him. No,
that's great. No.
There was actually just a lot of unnecessary clothing, not just hats in this movie, but there were lots of times where people had on these full robes and they were starting to fight. And I'm like, I'd take that off if I was that guy.
Well, it was even part of the fighting technique. Like the first thing he would do is kick up his foot to like split his, split his robe open.
Yeah.
I would remind you, he clicked water that had been thrown at him. He kicked it. To put the fire out on his leg. How rad was that?
It's badass.
And the best part is, dude's on fire. Like, this isn't a guy in one of those big, weird, wrapped up mummy costume things. They used to, you know, you could always tell when the guy on fire came out. He was like, okay, well, that guy's protected.
He always had that same swimming motion.
Yeah. Same, because he could barely move.
Doing the windmills.
He's got like 8 layers of like fire retardant, whatever. I know that stuff's gotten better these days, but. When Jackie gets on fire, he's straight up on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole scene of him running on the coals, or not running, like rolling on his hands and back and butt on the coals. And you know, you're seeing his face. You're seeing that he doesn't have big protective things on.
He was soaked through.
He was soaking wet and he was wearing wraps. Like his hands were totally wrapped in wet cloth.
Still.
Good Lord.
I can't even. I don't even dare go outside with a black t-shirt on in August, let alone roll around in some damn coals.
Yeah, you ask Vin Diesel to do that. He's like, F that. No way.
Forget it.
Not going to happen.
Not in America. We are Groot.
Give me some kids to babysit and I'm on it.
See?
Right, exactly.
So according to the trivia, the 7-minute fight at the end of the film, there was that big long fight. Right. Seemed longer than 7 minutes, but whatever. Took nearly 4 months to shoot that. Jackie Chan indicated that one day's filming typically would produce about 3 seconds of usable film. It reminded me of like animation. You always hear that, you know, takes 12 hours to get 3 seconds. Seems like they were that picky that they were, you know, 4 months to do one fight scene.
I watched a lot of martial arts films from the 70s, well, in the U.S., that was distributed in the 70s in the U.S., and I thought the fight scenes were the best I've ever seen, ever seen.
This movie?
This movie had the best fight scenes. I can't think of anything.
I'd say these are better than those other two that you guys like better. I don't know if that makes it necessarily a better movie, but I think the fight choreography here is unbelievably good.
I think this is the strongest homage to Kung Fu movies, which it is. I mean, it's just a straight-up Kung Fu movie. I mean, the premise and everything is just,
well, it's even set. It's set in an era, like a lot of the Kung Fu, not all of them, but a lot of the good Kung Fu movies are often set in the past or whatever. Like I always wanted we got an email saying this is really interesting because it makes me want to track down these others. I'm going to read it now. Brian F. wrote this. He said, Jackie Chan's character Wong Fei Hung is a huge folk hero in China. It has been portrayed in dozens of movies since the 1940s. Jet Li has also played him numerous times. That I didn't know. See, I'd like to find whatever that is. So apparently that Once Upon a Time in China trilogy, that's Jet Li playing this character, the same character.
Oh, really?
Right.
He says, and you see a child version of him in Iron Monkey. So I've seen Iron Monkey and I had no idea that kid is the same. He's supposed to be the same folk hero. Right. So that explains
the
time
movie
frame.
Where the monkey develops the arc reactor, puts it in his chest.
That's the one.
Yeah. Remember that one? Oh, it's a hell of a thing. That's a great movie, though. You should see it. It's really good. Iron Monkey, that is. Here is a cool article. Oh, you send this article anyway. But there's this huge bunch of history about this character. It isn't just this, you know, weird pseudo sequel. It's like, what would it be like for us?
Kellogg. Well, he was like a pharmacist slash martial artist slash
but like the folk hero character that it pops up in a lot of these. He's kind of like I hate to say this, but Dracula.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
A character that just
he changes a little here and there. Different actor plays him. It's they modernize him up for other stuff. I think that's fair. I mean, maybe you could even say Batman is like this. Because Batman's gone through, I don't know how many iterations for how many years, and they're all different, and they all have different tones. Some are funny, some aren't. Some have Robin, some don't. The best ones don't. but, you know, like...
IMDb has a list of 89 films.
Good Lord.
Where this is a named character.
Right.
Wow.
Going back to 1949.
That's more than dozens, Brian F. He said he was in dozens of... Yeah, that's a lot of movies. So maybe I don't want to see them all, but I'd be curious, like, which ones...
Again, though, Drunken Master, 1978. That's why this was called Drunken Master 2 in China. Yeah. Drunken Master, 1978. Tremendous telling of this story of learning how to fight like this. I was bugged in this movie how many times people remarked, "Drunken boxing? Oh, you're talking about drunken boxing?"
Yeah.
Like, stop it. We get it. Like, you don't have to say that 100 times.
Nobody took it seriously. I wonder if Virtua Fighter. So Virtua Fighter 2, the game, had a character in it whose style was drunken boxing. And I'm going to see if I can find his name. Now it's starting to make me think that is the name of that character. And I just want to satisfy my, here it is, characters in Virtua Fighter 2. Drunken Master's name was, Shun D. So no, I was wrong. Never mind then. That would have been really funny.
But
if
he
that
does
was the
sound
same
good
character.
Rapper, Shun D. That's
but like, that guy, I mean, they clearly based that on what they saw either in this movie or some movie where they showed this drunken fighting style really well, because that whole lean back thing and you're on your tiptoes and your two hands are kind of swerving in and out. That's how that character played. And I could never get him figured out. I tried to play that character. I get my ass handed to me.
You weren't drunk enough, Scott.
No, it's back to Leon or freaking Lei Fei or whoever I played all the time.
There's a few moments of it in The Matrix. I mean, Neo supposedly learned every kind of kung fu.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he does in that little thing with,
he falls back.
Morpheus when That's they're Morpheus, training, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he moves like that at some point.
Mm-hmm. My favorite example of the trope. Oh, give me a trope alert.
Oh, all right. Well, hold on. Okay.
My favorite example of the trope is in Beer Fest. Come on, tell me you've seen Beer Fest.
Still haven't seen Beer Fest.
Oh, I've seen Beer Fest.
Still haven't seen Beer Fest.
There's a character named Barry in Beer Fest who's useless except when he gets drunk. Then he is the master of drinking games. Mm-hmm. I love that trope.
Barry.
Barry, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Is there anybody named
Jill
in that movie?
Jill.
Damn it. Because I love Barry. What else is there to say about this? He was 8 years younger. I already mentioned that. Oh, he was supposed to be according to the script, he was half the age of his father, but, that didn't look right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The whole age thing, they have to keep reminding you at the beginning that that's his dad and that's his stepmom. I mean, I guess he could have just married young. So there's no,
the other guy's the goofy brother was from the current marriage though. That was the indication to me that he was like the stepbrother or something.
Oh, really?
I got that. Well,
he was the lesser of the children for sure.
Like Randy said, they explain none of this. Like you just infer everything. But,
well, and you can infer some things really, really well. Like I'll give you another trope.
Okay. Wait. Oh, hold on.
Right in the dead center of the trope of the lazy genius, this guy. Like he is the perfect example of the lazy genius. He has these amazing skills, but man, he spends all his time trying to get out of doing anything. Ever. and other examples, Val Kilmer's character in Real Genius, Kumar from the Harold and Kumar movies, you know, these people who have, they can do these amazing things, but they're spending all their effort trying to be lazy. That like that came across in this movie really, really well. It was very funny.
Yeah. And much more likable versions in other places.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that's true. In 2005, this movie was named one of the top 100 films of all time by Time Magazine. Not on that film. Those other two you guys like more. Not saying that Time is Team Johnson away, but it feels like it might be.
Sure.
Might be. But I mean, fair enough. Whatever.
But like, I mean, okay, look, let's ask this question. I feel like it was true to a kung fu movie. Are you a kung fu movie fan,
I love them
Randy?
All.
Oh, I am. And that's the thing. Like, I'm saying I can name 5 Jackie Chan movies I like more than this one. Like that doesn't necessarily make this a horrible movie, although my Twitter post might.
Well, how do you prefer these though, Randy? If I said to you, which do you like better, comedy infused Jackie Chan style or self-serious Enter the Dragon, or, you know, that's not a good one, but something else when they're a lot more self-serious and a little less jovial. Which way do you prefer it?
Well, see, my problem with this movie was that there was so much of this dad screaming and kicking him out, and Jackie Chan writhing around looking like, and fake crying and all
of, but the fake crying was hilarious. Come on.
And then there was and then added to that, every single character was constantly trying to hide what they were actually doing behind the backs of other people. Yeah. And that's a typical thing in all these movies, but that it just got to me. I was watching this like, can we please just fight about it instead of all of this rigmarole to try to hide that we were playing a game or we were hiding away some treasure or whatever. Like, it gets to where you just feel like, wow, everybody's such a liar to everyone. It's no wonder they fight all the time.
Yeah.
But it was a very serious, I don't think it was a direct homage, but it felt to me very much like I Love Lucy. I mean, it was all about that deception, and there's a whole other thing going on behind the authoritarian figure.
Yep, Three's Company, dude. Three's Jack Company. Tripper.
Exactly. Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of the Marx Brothers, and I love Marx Brothers movies, but you got to understand, I don't watch those for action. And watching this, I just kept thinking, you know, man, I kind of want to watch Who Am I? Have you seen that Jackie Chan movie? Who Am I?
It's a good.
Just really, really
old,
solid movie.
Old, new? What is it?
No, late 90s.
Oh, right. I could try that.
Wasn't it a double, he played twin brothers or something?
No, that's not double dragon.
It's got to be double something.
They recommended it to me when I got to the end of the movie. Netflix tried to make me watch it.
Oh, really?
Double something. Double
trouble?
Dragon. No, Trouble.
Damn it. Twin Dragons.
That's
Twin Dragons. Okay.
Yeah.
Twin Dragons is a little older than this movie.
I have Twin Dragons.
Yeah, but it released later here.
It released later here. It's a little older than this movie. Good example of actually having a flimsy little story that ties it all together. And that's the thing. Like, watching this movie, I kept feeling like, this is kind of like porn. Like, they're giving me they're having people show up and they have their motivations and everything, but I'm really just ready to fast forward to the next fight.
Yeah.
Whereas Super Cop, I'm so blown away by these huge across the city action sequences that it doesn't really matter if the stuff in between them is good or bad or funny or whatever, because
that stuff
I'm
was
just sitting there
good.
I'm trying to catch my breath the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still preferred this for I don't know what other reasons, but you're right. Super Cop had some pretty epic stuff going on there. It's hard to deny that.
It's hard to compare. And this is just a smaller film in a lot of ways.
It's had a spit take in this movie. I don't know if you guys remember the old man spit out or whatever.
A spit take? Well, it had a lot.
Well, and then you had the flaming spit take.
Right. But the traditional, like the straight up traditional spit take was the old guy who thought he just got the biggest ginseng plant of his life, right?
Yeah.
But it was a rutabaga, which nobody knew how to say right in this movie.
The rutabaga made me laugh. It was a visual element that was just like hilarious to me.
But it got me to thinking, when is the last time you can honestly say somebody did a spit take in a modern film in the last, say, 10, 15 years? I cannot think of one.
Oh, yeah. I can't either.
I cannot think of
been in a Pixar movie. That's the kind of thing.
Animated stuff, probably. In fact, yeah, I'm pretty much sure of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, didn't Woody? I think Woody did it once.
Although, I haven't seen A Million Ways to Die in the West or whatever it's called, I'd be willing to wager that there's a spit take in there.
Yeah, there's a good chance for that.
I guess I could have looked it up. I was actually going to do that. I was going to look up big... notable spit takes in films or something. There's got to be, somebody's got a list someplace.
Sure, there's a website. Yeah, notablespittakesinfilm.com.
Yeah. I wrote down here. Oh, I spelled it wrong. I found some of the, we've already talked about some of it, but just some of those stunts, breathtaking.
Dangerous.
Dangerous, Will Robinson. Like, when they just fall off a thing or hit a thing, or we keep talking about the Coles, but I think part of it, I mean, how much of this would not be impactful if we didn't know he was doing them all himself? I mean, to me is a real question. Like, would I care as much about Jackie Chan if he hadn't put his life on the line every time he made a movie? I don't know.
Right.
Would I? I mean, he's charming and he's interesting and he's kind of funny. And
I liked it that they went from the easiest, least risky stuff to the hardest, most risky stuff as the movie went on. I liked it that the stunts got more and more dangerous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wish they hadn't opened with rubber swords and rubber spears.
Those weren't really floppy. They were
I'm going to beat you with my barely cooked spaghetti.
Yeah, it's like a hose. And you can't stab me with a hose. And I worried. It gave me this worry like, oh no, this whole movie might be this kind of nonsense, you know, like,
right.
But then at the same time, my gosh, how many times in the first 20 minutes does he jump in and out of windows and things like these spaces where you're like, oh, well, how could you get through that? And he just goes right through it. Like it's greased.
Like nothing but net. Like he doesn't even touch the sides.
Starting to worry that you, Dibbon and I share a brain. The both times you said when we were talking about Jack Tripper and Three's Company, we were both thinking the same thing. And when you said spaghetti, I was totally thinking spaghetti. That needs to end. Damn it, we need a whole brain each.
When's our anniversary, Scott? Our anniversary.
Yeah,
y'all could totally manage some Pacific Rim style. Giant robots together.
Into that. Oh yeah, the two guys. Yeah. Totally.
Scott Johnson is my kaiju.
Yeah.
Right.
And let's take a moment, by the way, to congratulate you guys on the latest online edition of Men's Health Magazine.
Oh yeah, I saw that. So
Scott and Brian are mentioned in the must listen podcast.
You're nobody until your podcast gets mentioned in Men's Health Magazine.
That's right. How to get your testosterone up in 5 steps. Also, really good podcast to listen to, everybody. Woo! All right, back to sex tips.
That's right. Here's some podcasts to listen to while your vasectomy heals.
That's about right, isn't it?
I seriously though, I think it's like the greatest. Tell me about TMS. Well, it's the award-winning Men's Health Magazine approved podcast.
Men's Health said there's nothing better on long drives than our show.
Yeah,
also,
that's exactly what they said.
You'll get man boobs earlier if you drink
what
your
milk. When you pee.
Right. that was really nice. And Coverville on there as well, which is great.
Yeah.
Twofer there for Brian. That's amazing. And then a bunch of shows that I'm familiar with, and that's cool to see them on there as well. So they've all got talent. What are they doing? All right, here we go. What else? That's all I wrote. Oh, wow. No, I wrote something about Kohl's, but we already talked about that. Any other thoughts and comments?
One last trope. I mentioned it, but it deserves an expansion. The character, there's a lot of characters who do this, but Jackie Chan's character is the main one. It's called the trickster.
Yeah.
The trope of a character who's constantly hiding something behind your back or trying to rearrange something so that you see it differently than it really is. And I got to thinking about this. There's some really good examples of tricksters in movies that we all love, like Captain Jack Sparrow, like I said, everything in the Marx Brothers. They made a whole series of movies based on this. Tyler Durden is a trickster in a way. It's a lot more cerebral than hiding your shoes, but Ferris Bueller is a good example.
Don't go eat in a restaurant where Tyler Durden works.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
pretty much everything Eddie Murphy's ever done. Mm-hmm. This is like really common comedy.
Oh, for sure. Like the
common comedy.
I do wish sometimes they would have spent, I mean, whatever, it's all done now, but if they would have spent more time with movies like this with better voice dub stuff, because it's been done better by many other movies. There's no reason they couldn't have done that here. Or give me the option. I mean, Netflix isn't doing it, so I guess I don't have an option, but it'd be nice to do subtitles. I don't mind that. I like to hear people's actual inflection. It's another reminder that not only are the voices dubbed in, but they got to dub in everything else because of it. So any dialogue they took on, you know, on set, they've got to replace other stuff with Foley work. And I know a lot of that's true of just movies in general, but, you know, I wouldn't mind hearing what the thing was meant to sound like in the first place. And I don't mind subtitles. I'm cool with it.
And of course they did change this greatly for the editing because they had a dub anyway, so they had to redo the Foley work. But I've watched some of the scenes from the original, and the Foley work there is a lot more akin to the Kung Fu movies I was used to seeing as a kid. And, you know, that whole cloth rustling and
like two or three sound effects that get used over and over.
Yeah. And I actually think they're really impactful. I think it really makes me feel like things are getting really thrown and punched, and
Stuff's getting done, man.
Stuff's getting done. Whereas in some of these scenes, I was kind of like, oh, he's not even touching him. You know, it's a really close punch, but without the sound effect landing at the right time, I feel like a little bit of fakery. I'm like, oh, a little bit of fakery there.
Did it make you wonder what movies like Rush Hour and Shanghai Nights sound like in Chinese?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, dude.
What did they do? Like, what does Chris Tucker or Owen Wilson sound like in those movies?
Hello, I how are you?
Especially Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Totally, dude.
Except in Chinese.
Yeah. You know what I'd forgotten about him? He was the guy that was killed by Samuel Mother F and T Jackson, L. Jackson, and thrown in the trunk in Jackie Brown.
Oh, really?
That was Chris Tucker. Yeah. There's a scene at it's early on too, where Chris throws Tucker in a trunk, says he's taking him somewhere to escape somewhere, literally drives a block, pulls into a parking lot in the back of it, like a warehouse or something, opens the thing, and he goes, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And then pops him like three times.
Well, did you notice in the dubbing, in the dubbing for this, that the main bad guy, Mr. Crotch Splits.
Mr. British? Mr. Vertical Split. Yeah.
Right. Had an American accent. The other guy had a British accent, but they were both Asian, and all the rest of the Asians, the good guys, had an Asian, you know, their voices were dubbed with an Asian dialect or an Asian accented like American actor. Or maybe not American actor, but they were dubbed in English
with an
Asian accent.
Mean.
But the
Yeah,
the,
like why two, Why
the two main guys. Yeah.
Why didn't they just get people who were from Hong Kong and all sounded like they were from Hong Kong?
Right, exactly.
Why not
like,
do that?
Why were the two main bad guys English and British with no trace of Asian accent whatsoever?
But that makes sense, right? Because we're in Hong Kong. We're talking about the Commonwealth. It's just bizarre to me. Yeah, they were really all over the map with this. Yeah. Like almost like they never really intended this to be in English at all.
I totally don't think they probably did.
No, they didn't know.
Like, man.
Well, I've got some great clips that show this. You want to hear these? Before we do, real quick, sad news, everybody. Hang on, I'll play that in a second.
That's sad news music.
David Attenborough, brother of Richard Attenborough, died today at the age of 90. Ripe old age of 90. He is Dr. Hammond, who basically funded and created Jurassic Park in the Jurassic Park film. Many other great roles, but that's the one that a lot of people know him from in a big way, and he was rad. Here's just a little taste of him in that movie. So just a little bit. I don't know why that's happening. All right, here we go.
These will be your transports for the afternoon. No drivers. No drivers. But they're electric. They run on this track in the middle of the roadway here. Totally non-polluting. Top of the line.
All right, and then there's a T-Rex. I don't know why.
Right. Well,
anyway,
well, hello
thanks,
there, John.
Idiot.
Yes, I would like to know more about DNA.
Yeah. I really like him, and he played a great grandpa or Santa Claus in the Miracle on 34th Street remake, and it's great. And just
I thought you were going to say Jurassic Park. I was like, yeah, he's kind of good Santa Claus.
Directed. he spared no expense. He directed Gandhi. It's kind of a big deal, you know.
Right.
Guy had his hands in some cool projects. It was supposed to be a real sweet dude, and I think that's awesome. And if they don't have his brother, Richard,
Stop reversing them.
I do it again?
Richard Attenborough died today.
Sorry. If David Attenborough could please... That's right. Richard died. David Attenborough, please do like one of your planet Earth-like eulogies. Like literally get up there and do that voice he does. You know what I'm talking about? Where he's like, the male gorilla does the thing or whatever.
If you've never seen planet Earth with David Attenborough's narration...
No, it's unbelievable.
Must.
Not Richard. He died.
Richard's dead.
David is alive. I won't say well because I don't know. All right.
He didn't just direct Gandhi. He directed Chaplin and Cry Freedom and one of the few stage to screen adaptations I've ever liked, which was A Chorus Line.
Yeah.
Like the
Cry
guy...
Freedom was great, by the way. That was a good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Denzel Washington and... my brain just went dead. Kevin Kline. It's great in that. Really good. Anyway.
Richard Attenborough was Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I said earlier. Yeah,
so that one.
I missed that.
That's all right. You probably pushed a cough. You were pushed a cough.
I was trying to get into my drunken master. So I didn't hear you.
Well, that's,
I was drinking some high-octane... gasoline.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because he's so shifty.
Oh, that's not the clip. Here's the clips. Wow. This is our first one. This is great. All right. So anyway, I'll play it, and then I'll play a part of it again, and you tell me what he's saying. So this is about cheating.
Hey, huh? What's this? We call it cheating.
Okay. He says
we call it cheating.
It sounds like he says we call it shitting to me.
We call it cheating.
We call it a cheating.
Wow.
Really, remember Jackie Chan shitting, does his.
You hear, right. That's all you hear.
That's all, yeah, I can, awesome, hear now. And I have to thank a fan who sent that via a Vine video while he was watching it in preparation for the show. I really appreciate that. I didn't get his name, though. Dang it. Anyway, here's an odd conversation.
Back again? Why don't you give up?
Oh, no, old man. Apologize.
What did you say?
How dare you call me a traitor?
Okay, sorry.
We call it a cheating.
All right, great.
Okay, sorry. Can you add that to her? I'm
you
sorry.
You must be cheating me.
Yeah. Right. There was some swearing, though. It was fun to hear, like, the stepmom,
yeah,
was, like, always dropping, oh, the S. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody
this
effed.
Movie got a rated R on it.
What?
Which, yeah, even the I guess the Netflix.
For what, the violence and stuff?
I guess the violence and a couple of GDs and maybe
that's not enough.
Bomb. Was there a bomb?
Lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking. Maybe that's it.
But that's that seems crazy to me. This felt like the least rated R thing we've seen in months.
Right.
Here's one where I just wrote the word what, because I don't know what's going on here. So here it is.
It's a called Turtle Hotel Y Barrel.
Okay.
Turtle Hotel Y Barrel.
What did he say?
Turtle holding something there.
Let's try it again.
It's a called Turtle Hotel Y Barrel.
Why that? I don't know.
I thought this was translated and dubbed. What the hell's going on? All right.
Remember, Jackie Chan does his own dubbing for the.
That's true, and I'm glad, because I don't like to hear him not be his own voice.
And he has to do it while he's actually, like, physically doing something to make it, you know, so that if he's
strained, yeah,
right, exactly. If he's flying around waving his hands in somebody's face, it doesn't sound like he's just sitting there. Okay, this one's called the monkey playing a flute.
Although those are always funny.
We've seen those dubbed, though.
No, some of the other people in this movie are doing
some of the other people in this movie did that exact thing. Yes. Yeah,
totally. Well, we don't know what that is, but we do know what this is. I don't think that was him.
He does love to sing.
Yeah, no, he did, for real. Like, he's a singer dude.
I've even got a version of him doing Unforgettable.
Well, Unforgettable, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Is it good? How is it?
No, it's not good at all.
Okay.
It's exactly what you would expect it would be.
It is the question. You got to get used to it if you do Coverville. Pretty much every cover you ever name, someone's going to say, is it good?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is kind of coin flippy if you just name a random cover.
You know what? It's as good as you would expect from Jackie Chan. How about that?
All right. Well, he's saying, I didn't know this. I guess I didn't pay attention. I don't remember even if I watched the opening ceremonies, but he sang in those in Beijing. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. How about this one? He makes a man out of you. Here, let me just play a little. Hopefully you two doesn't screw me here. Oh, yeah. It's the movie. It's that song from Mulan. Yeah, here we go. Oh, goodness. I'm actually
it's
a little.
It's a long intro.
I'm a little terrified. Oh, it's in Chinese. Oh, weird, dude. All right. That's normally in the English one. That's Donny Osmond doing that.
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't Donny Osmond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's the singer. Wow. He didn't do voice like the character voice, but every time that dude would sing, the army guy that Mulan fell in love with, anytime he'd sing, sing, it was Donny Osmond.
instant correction for us. We can avert some Twitter posts. Jackie Chan sang in the closing ceremony.
Oh, thank you. Because the incessant comments would have been rough.
I thought you were going to tell me that David Attenborough was still alive.
Oh, that would have been nice.
David Attenborough is still ticking.
I'm sorry. Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough's dead.
Yeah.
As is General Francisco Franco.
Okay, great.
Abe Vigoda, still alive.
Yeah, still alive.
By the way, that Unforgettable cover is in the usual place that we have those sorts of things. Just in case you want to...
Brian, there's no question.
Grace us with any of that.
I'm totally going to do it right now. Here we go. This is Unforgettable, Jackie Chan. Let's hear a piece. It sounds like Unforgettable. Are they drunk or drunken master of music?
Drunken singer. Legend of drunken singer.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Okay, all right. Okay.
Unforgettable.
Oh, yeah, it begins with Ani DeFranco.
Hey, that's a lady.
Yeah, go the second verse. Right. It's different from the first.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
That's how you stay.
That's terrible.
That's not
so bad.
Horrible.
That's horrible, dude. That's just Jackie Chan's voice.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
How else is going to, how is she going to think you're going to sound when he sings?
There's more.
Hold on. There he gives the chorus.
Oh, my darling, it's incredible.
I think
What? I put in our Skype chat a link to Jackie Chan singing in the Beijing Olympics closing ceremony.
Okay.
And I linked right to the time, the second before he starts singing.
Okay, good. 3 minutes, 39 seconds. Here we go.
And oh my God.
Here we are. You know, and he's all right in his native tongue.
A little auto-tune right there. You can
a lot of auto-tune. He sounds like it's a Autobot, like
Jackie Chan robot singing.
I feel bad. You guys heard about his son getting busted for pot last week or whatever.
Yeah,
he was real hardcore on that whole like drug free my kids and every you know all that, and then one of
he's a whole new generation cannabis master.
That's right.
Isn't his son Jaden Smith, or am I just getting real life in movies?
You are.
Let's not change.
Jaden Smith had plenty of pot. Don't worry about him.
With my hair back and forth.
That's right. Getting jiggy with it. All right. Next up, we have some more. No, that's my. Wait, what's this?
Street 9.
What for?
For you.
Oh, no, madam. Please don't tease me this way.
Who's teasing?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, please don't get to me. No.
I liked her, though. I liked her a lot.
She was pretty funny.
And have we seen her? Wasn't she the woman who ran the. The grocery store in Rumble in the Bronx. I want to say that she's the she's worked out before.
You might be right.
Didn't they all work together? I mean, these guys. Familiar. Yeah, there was a lot of that going on, probably.
Yeah.
Have you seen recent pictures of her?
It's like Judd Apatow reusing the same actors.
Oh, yeah. No. She passed in 2003.
She did. Oh, she didn't look that old. How old is she?
No. She wasn't very old. She was born in 63. So that would have been, she died in 2003. What makes her 40, right?
No, I mean, died at 40. That's too young. Oh. What's that about? Do some more looking there. I want to know more.
Oh, yeah. And that was her in Rumble in the Bronx. Sure enough.
Yeah.
Great IMDb photo, man.
I love that IMDb photo. She's kind of like got a pink or
Lady Gaga thing.
Does it say cause it doesn't say cause of death?
Yes, I'm looking up
cancer. Dude, not fair. F you, cancer. You effing piece of trash. All right. Here's
She was called the Madonna of Hong Kong.
Whoa.
I'll do
really?
It. Yeah.
Well, that'll do it.
That'll do it. Yeah.
What the hell are you doing now, China guy? I wrote, I don't know what this means. Here it is.
What the hell are you doing now?
Oh, that's why. China guy saying, what the hell are you doing now? Yeah, that's great.
What the hell are you doing now?
It's really hard for me not to, you know, generally in most movies we watch, sometimes I'll reflect back the dialogue someone says in a movie, but it's really hard not to be offensive. Reflecting back on
you can't imitate those without
it'll sound bad.
Issues, yeah.
Here's your worst British voiceover of all time. Here's this guy.
You know, I'm truly astounded at the incompetence of all of you. You severely damaged my reputation with the British Museum of Art. They've asked me to deliver the Jade Seal of the Emperor, and I have every intention of fulfilling that request.
You know what's weird is it's actually not bad in audio only. Mm-hmm. It's when because it doesn't match up, something makes it automatically weirder in the movie.
Well, it feels very forced. When you see it with the video, you'll understand because it seems like they're a little bit more physical, whereas that felt more like a stage.
Just a reading for a book or something, yeah.
Right.
Here's the water. What? I don't know what this is. Here.
Did you remember to water the plants?
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Oh yes, I did. Yeah,
there's always that guy, though, huh? Right? Yeah, I love that guy. And I think it's the same voice in every one of these movies. It's this guy going, "Oh yeah, I got it. All right, like that."
It's kind of like overacting, but not exactly.
No, it's special. It's some kind of something of its own that I think is great, and there should be more of it. Also, funny. I captured this. Here you go. That's very manga.
That was a quick one.
What you saying, huh? I will date you later.
Huh?
All right. British guy again.
It's bloody impossible to sleep with all this noise. Why don't we just buy it and have it bulldozed?
Yes.
No, you've got to include the word bloody.
I hate that voice.
Right,
it's not
always.
It's not a fake British guy unless they include the word bloody.
Yeah.
That's what got you the rated R.
Do you think all the movies that are set in Hong Kong, they always seem to have a real bad place for the British guys. Do you think that is because there was a lot of resentment for the colonization or the whatever when they were a British colony?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I mean, because in America, we're all about the Nazis. We're like, Nazis were the worst. But in other parts of the world, there's still resentment towards those guys.
That's true. The Nazis always take the, even in Star Wars, I mean, they're all Nazis, really.
Right.
They look like SS guys. Okay. How about this one? This is, how poor are they?
They're so poor that some families have to share a single pair of pants.
Wow. Who gets to wear them?
If you have job, you wear the pants.
Oh, wow.
Hello. Sorry, I'm late.
There's a guy again.
Mm-hmm. I want to know if that's the original dialogue. I know they redubbed it, but is that what they said in the original, or if they just like come up with all new?
I don't know, because the thing is, they played it straight. Like, we're supposed to laugh as an audience, but the characters are all just, oh wow, wow,
right?
And then they get interrupted by that guy, that same guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I'm late. All right, All right, here's some tough lady dialogue. This is pretty good. Check it out.
You were in on it. I saw the whole thing.
Why don't you mind your own business, bitch?
Hey, who are you calling bitch? I can't let him get away with that. And who the hell do you think you are, strutting around here like a peacock in that bad English suit of yours? I think I should kick your ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
it's like an Asian version of Hepburn. How'd you kick your ass?
Yeah.
A little bit of a hint of a British accent.
You can't walk in here and try to take over the town, Jay. I mean, she totally got that swag swagger.
Yeah. Kung fu trope, by the way.
Oh, kung fu trope. Wait, I got one for that. Kung fu trope. I got one for that. Hold on a second. It goes like this.
Ah!
There you go.
Everybody can fight. Everybody can fight in the family. They all know how to fight, whether or not they, you know, whether or not they're respected for it or not. They all know how to kick trash.
Yeah. I wish I could fight like that. I wish I could just move like that. Like any of those people, like, watching when Jackie Chan got drunk and exploded through that chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something else, man. I know the chair's not exactly real and all that, but just everything looks so visceral and so it's hard to even explain. And maybe it goes to the R rating or something, but there was a lot of talk about how they were worried about releasing it here and that kids, you know how adults always worry these dumb things. The kids will go out and drink a bunch and try to fight because they think that drinking makes you a better fighter. I don't think we give kids enough credit sometimes.
I totally don't think. I think kids are smart enough to know that they've seen enough. If they've been around any drinking, they've probably seen enough drunk people on the ground not fighting.
Fighting, doing acrobatics and then giggling through it. And
I don't think so.
Downing another bamboo husk of whatever the hell that was. Peter Piper, play the flute.
Oh, yes, yeah. I love when he does
this. This is good.
He has a Peter Piper playing the flute.
I'm so glad Peter you Piper captured that.
He has a Peter Piper playing the flute.
It's one of his drunk moments. Here's Peter Piper playing the flute. Okay, here's a cute little nose. There's another one. That's pretty funny.
You have a cute little nose.
Oh, the friendly drunk.
In my eye.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes. Ooh, gosh, dang it. Can we talk about that just real quick?
Yeah, the chin in the eye and the nose in the eye.
That is awful.
It really is.
All I could think about was the diseases like you're below spreading the belt, around. But
the equivalent of below the belt.
That's what I wondered. Is it a thing, though? Like, maybe that's actually a thing where, you know, like, if I don't know, like, what's his name, bit Holyfield's ear.
Right.
Is it just, that's just dirty play when you're fighting?
Is it fish hooking? Is it like that?
I'm just grossed out by it.
I am too.
I couldn't believe they were using that because I guess you're supposed to laugh, like, oh, how funny, they're all tied up.
Oh, I laughed together.
But I couldn't laugh. It would have been like if it
physically laugh. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't even know what to. Oh,
I cringe.
Tina made the physical sound. Yeah.
Yeah, I cringed. I kind of moved back in my seat a little bit. I was like, do not put your chin in that guy's eye. That's freaking gross. Here's there's this guy. It's in every dubbed movie ever. Here he is.
Has to walk. And I keep, Mrs. Chan is here. She says she has a bit of a problem.
That's that guy.
A bit of a problem.
All right. He can go straight to hell.
You can go straight to hell.
That's all. That's all I had there. Scott Fletcher sent us something that cracked me up. So I'm going to play it here. It's got nothing to do with nothing. It's just Scott Fletcher warming up for when he records the stuff for the show. And this is what he sent this week. It's a real treat, so enjoy.
Hey, is that that doesn't seem very loud at all, does it? Does it? Hello, 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 hello. Hello, Governor. Hello, Governor. Hello. That's better. Now that's a knife. Hello, Governor. Chip, chip, pip, pip, cheerio. And all that. Oh, jolly good. Oh, that'll put the shrimp on the barbie. I could go for a Foster's. Oh, I could go for a Foster's. 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 That's better. Hello. Hello.
That's great. I wonder if he watched Crocodile Dundee this past week like I did.
No,
The legend of drunken voiceover man.
Yeah. He may have had a couple of Fosters. I don't know. Are they very alcoholic? I don't drink, so I don't know. Are they very, are they kind of lightweight?
Beer, like, so, no, it's supposed to be, it's, well, you know.
Like, how do people, is it like Zima where it's like, oh, that's a lightweight thing?
That's a beer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's kind of like more like a Budweiser, like in the U.S. or whatever we don't own now.
No, that's boring.
Right.
That's really boring.
It's a boring beer. Yeah, I agree. Right,
fine. Here's Scott Fletcher one last time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I just put that one in wherever I want it in my life. That's my new ringtone.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Someone's on the phone. All right. And then finally, this one again.
Windiggy.
I just like to play that once in a while. That's it for
nothing
those.
To do with this.
No, it's got nothing to do with anything, but it is time for the checklist. The Film Sack checklist is thus. Free meal via duck improvised duck plague. What did I duck?
What? Duck when, plague. When he runs in, what? The ducks and he's running around. Is that what he's gonna
I don't know why I wrote duck improvised duck plague, but anyway, it was the, yeah, so check. The British are always bad in HK movies, check. And finally, way more booze than you'd expect in a metalwork factory, check. Trek stuff, none at all. Nobody worked on Star Trek.
I got a connection. I always like to do a distant connection if we can.
Well, that's fine with me.
So Hung So Pak was one of the main fighters in this movie, right? Mm-hmm. He's been in several things, one of which
And Tupac was in that show. Is that what you're going?
Nope.
No. He was recently in Transformers Age of Extinction, which also starred Kelsey Grammer, who is our go-to Star Trek connection when we need one.
Oh, that's right.
Kelsey Grammer was in The Next Generation, right? He was...
Captain something. He showed up in the old school uniforms from Star Trek 2.
Captain Frazier.
Captain Morgan Bateson. Captain Morgan Bateson in the episode Cause and Effect.
Captain Frazier. Nice. Captain Hank. What's his name in X-Men?
Hank, yeah. From Hank, Beast.
Hank, freaking yeah. Hank. What's his Beast. Last name? Beast. Hank Beast.
Pim, not him, no. Hank McCoy.
McCoy. There you go. Captain McCoy.
Captain
Wait, there's already a McCoy
loose Star Trek. Connection.
Very weird. All right. Well, thank you, because otherwise there were none. There was nobody who had a direct connection to Star Trek, and most of that's always true with these Hong Kong movies.
I heard Jackie Chan once watched Star Trek. I heard that.
Well, that's probably true. Soundtrack grade, I'd give it a TF for totally fine. It's totally fine.
It was fine for a U.S. sensibility, yeah, I think, but it was fine. Kind of redone a little bit.
I didn't hate it. I didn't think about it. Maybe that's good. It didn't bother me. Right. So there it was. You guys now get a chance to do something you know you love, and that is to sum this movie. I want you to sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with, I don't know, Randy.
I just want you to know in advance that I hit the 140 character limit on this one.
All right.
And you
Legend
kept going.
Of Drunken Master. Watching Jackie Chan movies is like being promiscuous in your social life. Eventually, you're going to get a bad...
Then he stops.
I get it. That was pretty good. Followed by Brian Dunaway.
The Legend of Drunken Master is not the 12th step in the AA program. An uncomfortable kiss from Jackie Chan is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, gosh. Yeah, I mean, as much as I think he's lovable, not with your chin in my eye or your lips on my nose in my eye or whatever the hell that was.
Look, I'm just wearing a flag.
Ugh. That's so gross. Oh, so I have a niece who spent some time in Indonesia. She got home yesterday or this last week, and we saw her last night at a family thing, and she said, and I couldn't believe this, but apparently this is maybe even more well-known and I just didn't know about it. So if you guys know this, I apologize. But I guess over there, you never shake anybody's hand with your left hand because it means
you're Bob Dole.
Over there, everybody wipes their butt. There's no toilet paper. It doesn't exist as a concept. So people wipe their A's with their left hand and they use their right hand to do everything else. So even though you'd wash it or whatever, you'd never trust it.
So it's socially acceptable just to keep that left hand in your butt crack all day long.
Pretty much. So when my brother-in-law was over there, he would go do things with his left hand because he's left-handed. So he'd go to eat with his left hand or grab something. And people would go, oh, no. And they'd point at his hand and yell, no. And they explained to him it's because everyone wipes their butt with their left hand and use the right hand to then clean that off or do other things or whatever. And you should only shake your hand with your right hand. Really weird. I thought
that's not weird. I think that's pretty smart if you're going to be using your left hand for that. I think that's pretty smart.
I want to go down there with a giant boat just full of Charmin and go, look what you can do.
Please don't do it. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Something.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm surprised this is just now coming
I'd
up.
I'd never heard that.
There's a lot of places in the world where the left hand is considered the dirty hand.
The poopy hand?
Yeah. The poop hand, yeah. Like, that's...
India and...
Well, I have some friends where I think both their hands are kind of the poopy hand, but that's not because of cultural differences. All right. Moving on to... Oh,
don't move on.
What? Oh, we haven't gotten you yet. Yeah, Brian. Yeah. No, have we done Dunaway yet? Did we do you yet?
Yeah,
can
we do it again?
No, let's do...
Fucking magic.
No. Let's now do you, Brian. Go.
Thanks for giving me all that extra time to write one.
Sure.
The Legend of Drunken Master. Plot, plot, plot. Brew coffee. Fight scene. Plot, make sandwich. Plot, fight scene. Break ankle. Plot, plot, plot. Bloopers.
Wow.
That was the movie.
That was.
I don't know if I have 140 characters or not.
Well, you kind of nailed it. I have a few here. Alternate title. Just hand it to me. Hot Coals, Cold Feet. That's number one. And finally, Americans like stunt-failed credits with rock and roll in them. And those are your options. Hey, we got an email from Brian F., and I already read it, so I'm not going
to
read it again.
I was about to say, another one?
You know, it's the same one as I read earlier. You know what? I'll give you another one. Just pick one at random. Let's try this one. Tarantulas and Bill Shatner, it says. In the subject line, this is from Lance and Trish. They're in Arizona. Hi, guys. Just listen to every episode of Film Sack, some even twice. Wow. Love the show as well as some of the other Frog Pants shows. I wanted to write in with a suggestion. This is a movie from 1977 by the name of Kingdom of the Spiders. We've talked about this.
Oh, yes.
We just can't get it anywhere, or we haven't been able to. It was not only filmed in my little hometown of Camp Verde, Arizona, but it also stars one William Shatner. It's kind of a big deal around here. The town owes the movie every... The town shows the movie every Halloween at the town park. There's a town park.
Well,
let's
just go and we'll see it. That's how we'll do it.
Plus, it's a freaking perfect for Film Sack movie. Super cheesy, bad acting, especially the cow, and overall a good time.
He had me has bad acting?
Especially the cow got me. That's what I want to see. I don't see it streaming anywhere quite yet, but would love to put this on your guys' radar. Anywho, that's about it. Thanks, Lance. Thanks, Lance. And thanks for listening to the
entire series. Hey, Lance, you got him in your pants?
Yeah, you got him in your pants, buddy? What do you say? What do you say? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Also, people, we've been getting a lot of suggestions for Torque lately. Torque. It's
movie
like
Torque?
Yeah, it was like
that's
the
knockoff of Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious knock, not knockoff, but kind of the deep impact to Armageddon is the kind of idea there. So a lot of people think it's better, like better than all
actually,
of it.
I think I've actually seen Torque.
I've not seen it, so I'd love to. I'd really love it.
Martin Henderson and Ice Cube. Well, there's one in 2004. That's the one. There's a 2012 one called Torque as well, but it does not look like it.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, Dane Cook.
That sounds
great. Yes, I have seen this.
That sounds great. I hate Dane Cook.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. I don't like him in movies, so I'll love it. And I really like Ice Cube in movies, so I'll probably like it for that. I'll like it and hate it at the same time. Let's do it. Let's watch it. Torque's on the list.
Is it streaming?
No, but when it does, we're on it.
Cool.
Next week's film.
It is on VO. You can watch it.
Sorry. Important programming note. There is no show next week. Brian's going to be at Dragon Con. I've got an anniversary to deal with in a good way. It's all positive. Mm-hmm. And that means no show. So there will be no show next week. But the week after that, we will be back at it. And the episode will be for Gattaca, which we got on DVD from a fan that we're finally getting around to watching. And it's still not streaming anywhere for free that I know of. Not for free, but, you know, with subscriptions and stuff. But you can't.
I think an alien came and took mine.
You can rent it anywhere. Did you ever get it? You should have it.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. It's been a while, so who knows? But Gattaca. I'm excited about that. I just saw that Ethan Hawke over there to the Dead Man's Poet Society. Dead Poet Society. There was no man in there. He was great, and I forgot how much I like him generally. So it'll be fun to see him in this because I like Gattaca, or my memory is Gattaca's a whole lot of good.
Yeah, yeah.
But also a lot of topic stuff in there. I'll bet we'll have a lot to say. And we promise not to invoke Minority Report as a comparative piece.
Right.
So that Brian...
No, we need to invoke movies like Equilibrium.
Yeah, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, what's his name, gets shot in the head there. Through his Bible. Oh, dude. We did that movie, right? I think we did that
Yes.
One. Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. I don't love that, but I love doing it with you guys. But I didn't love the. I don't think I love the movie. Anyway, that's coming up. Gattaca on our next episode. Not next week, the week after. Enjoy the week off, everybody. Pretend there's like a baseball game and we got preempted.
Or come to Dragon Con.
You get the weekend off and so do we.
That's right. And you'll go, if you're in Georgia, go see Brian. Shake his hand. Not with your left hand.
Left hand.
Right hand shakes only. And that's it.
Remember, when you go to Dragon Con, you have to go in drag.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me now. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Filmsack.com is our website. Go there. Enjoy the comments and partake in them. Be a part of it. Be a part of the conversation.
That thing is getting busy. Yo.
Blowing up,
That's
yo.
A great place.
Yeah. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We love your suggestions, your feedback, your thoughts, all that stuff. Keep that coming. Great emails. Twitter is @FilmSack. You can find us right there. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are downloaded. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Kung Fu Randy. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Oh.